recording.
Unbelievable. All right. That's awesome.
All right. Welcome to the Tony and Don Show. Episode 1.
Point 2.
Point 2. Because we, you know, failed at recording this already.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I'm Tony.
I'm Don.
Is Don. And everyone else is gone.
That's right. Slaughtered.
Yes.
Gone. Just gone.
We just recorded a completely awesome podcast, by the way, that nobody
will
ever hear.
So good.
It was so... I was funny. I was witty. People.
I was actually funny, too. That doesn't happen very often.
Right. But now it's over. We had this awesome discussion about stuff we're going to talk about again anyway.
Yeah. And you can't recreate that. You can't.
That vibe is gone forever.
That's all right. We got this. We can just skip the beer talk at this point. We had this nice 10-minute long conversation about
beer. I think I need another beer after that, honestly.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right.
I was making fun of our theme song. We replaced it with Yakety Sax.
Yes, yes.
Because this is not the Perfectly Sane Show.
Uh-uh.
This is the Tony and Don Show.
Absolutely.
Because the Perfectly Sane crew is not here, except for me.
They're all gone. Yeah, except for you. You're here.
I'm committed. Probably in many ways.
Well, Chris has a reason. Right. The other two, not so much.
Yes.
Not so much.
Jeff is drunk. And
as usual.
Yeah, more than usual, because if he was just normal drunk, then he would be here, obviously. Right. You'd think you'd keep him in line, but... I guess Jeff is just too much for anyone. You can't hold that man down.
No, really, absolutely not.
It's a force
no,
of
sir.
Nature. You've heard that man belch, I mean, honestly. you probably can't stand in the same room as him when that's going on. You can fly through a window or something.
Sure, that was great.
You know what? This second version of the Tony and Don Show is going to be better than the first version. I decided that right here.
All right.
So
now, you didn't tell anybody what happened to Fozzie.
Oh, Fozzie. Fozzie's drinking and eating nachos somewhere.
I'm kind of jealous.
Fozzie's decided that he has people that he can talk to in person.
What?
That are better than talking to us.
Absolutely. No. No, sir. No.
This is not possible, but... He's convinced himself that this is true.
I'm pretty sure none of those people are having a better time than we are right now.
That's right.
So, I'll drink to that.
Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen!
All right. Video games.
Video games.
I'm going to do the brief on Madden again.
It's not again. This is the first time.
You're right. This
is
the first time.
It's new to you. So it's new to everyone.
Yes. So I picked up EA Access. It was probably one of the best $50 that I'd spent outside of on beer in a while. And Madden 15 was one of those reasons I purchased it. I heard it was part of the package now. So I was like, you know what? I see my friend back in Oklahoma playing it all the time still. So I picked it up, hoping that we'd start a season together. So I picked it up, EA Access, so I could get that. I got Peggle 2, which my wife has been wanting. Need for Speed, Rivals is on there, but that game sucks. I downloaded it anyway, but it sucks. NBA Live 15, which I have not touched yet.
I want to touch that. I don't know. Even if I download it, I'm not sure I'll play it, because I played so much NBA 2K15.
Yeah. Well, you should play it in write a comparison or something.
Yeah,
this is the second NBA Live game, right?
Right. The first one was unplayable,
right,
as far as I've heard. And the second one is mildly playable.
Mildly playable is better than unplayable.
True.
So they're at least improving. So maybe there'll be an NBA Live 16.
Moderately playable.
Let's see. What else was part of that little ordeal? Battlefield 4, which is meh.
Is that free now? I traded my copy. Maybe I'll download. No.
Oh, Battlefield 4. Nice. Yeah, it's been free. I have little to no desire to play it because I don't have the expansions.
Which are not free.
Which is why they give you the game. I'm sure that's why they give it away. Right. Because so, they
now you can't play it. You have to have the expansions.
Absolutely.
Nobody's playing on those old maps.
No. I mean, maybe a few people are, but not enough people to kill.
I didn't play that much Battlefield 4, but I played enough to get sick of the maps that I was playing on.
Like, yeah,
I want a new experience if I hopped in.
Yep. I played some of the newer maps, too, I believe. No, I didn't. Oh, well. But anyway, Madden is a fantastic game. I mean, it is on point this last year. I should have listened to you, actually.
I did say that
I apologize.
The best Madden that was ever made.
You did, and you argued it was the best game that month. And I'm pretty sure I argued that it was not.
And people told me no. They said, Tony, you're wrong.
I did.
And so we picked a game of the month that was not Madden.
It was Diablo. I'm pretty sure it was Diablo Reaper of Souls.
Whatever it was a worse game than Madden.
No. I mean, Reaper of Souls was still better, mind you. But no, Madden 15 is a great game. I've been loving it. I'm playing on normal. Normally I play on easy, just so I can like slaughter the opposition. I'm not doing that so much right now. It took about 8 to 10 games ish to really start picking up how offense works. Mm-hmm. Because at least on normal, and I haven't played it on easy, but at least on normal, you have to kind of know what you're doing a little bit. You can't just throw it to Macklin when he's in a straight line and like know he's going to catch it. You know, he's not. Most likely he's not. So if he's not open, he's not going to catch it. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, though. I am extremely ecstatic about being able to play it on a regular basis. I've been playing it very regularly, one to two games a night, if not more. I've pretty much played it all day Sunday. So, yeah.
It's one of those games that once I start playing, I can't stop.
Yeah, that's how I am.
But once
right
I get through, like, a season, then I kind of peter out.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about right now is how I'm going to feel. You know, I'm getting close to the playoffs.
Right.
I'm worried it's going to peter out here after the first season.
But
like
I
my
mean,
friend,
really, once you've played through a whole season, you've played like 20 hours of Madden.
It's yeah.
It's a lot of one game.
My friend back home is playing, and they're in 2022 right now in their season, their franchise league. So they play a lot. So, I mean, there's pretty much no players right now playing in their games that are playing right now.
I used to do that. Like, back when I was in college, I would play, like, 10 years out.
Yeah.
It would be so much fun. You'd end up with, like, a quarterback who was, like, you ended up drafting in, like, sixth string. But, like, 4 years later, his stats would go up and he'd be useful.
Yeah, the
a play you'd never heard of before.
Yeah, the most I ever played was probably a couple years. I'd play about three years in, way back in the day.
Yeah, I'd never do that anymore, though. I think now there's more games, too. It's like, I don't have the time to invest in one game like that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play other stuff.
Plus, I have kids now, too. I didn't have kids back then.
Yeah.
So, those change things.
They do. Occasionally.
So, but... you've been playing Total War Attila.
Attila's so good. It's so good.
Sounds so good.
Yeah.
Whenever I read your review, I read the opening paragraph, and I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That pretty much was what your score was based on.
It's like, it's a much more fluid and dynamic situation than any of the other games start with. Like, you're so used to, like, ending up in... Like, I remember in Total War Shogun, you're, like, in this, like, corner. Like, no matter which faction you choose, you're, like, in a corner. You build up, you conquer, like, all the little minor people around you. And, like, you end up building this unstoppable juggernaut. And Rome 2 was the same way. Like, if you pick the Romans or whoever, you pick your little corner. You build up this unstoppable juggernaut, and... you just get to a tipping point where nobody can stop you.
Right.
Whereas in Total War Attila, you never feel like you're at that point. like the game opens and I played as the Visigoths and you're just this tribe like migrating through the Eastern Roman Empire. You sack a city and they start to like chase you down, and they chase you down with armies that are much larger than your army. And they're just not behind you, like aggressively attacking you. They're trying to like surround you so that if you end up fighting them, you're like fighting like four of their armies at once.
I could imagine them saying, "Coward, stop running."
Right. And so the entire time you're like, you're running. All right, I'm going to sack a city so that I can have food and wealth to move on so that I can like survive through the winter. And I'm like liberating cities to form like a buffer behind me so that I can escape, because all I want to do is get away. Of course, I know that if I get out of the Eastern Empire and into the Western Empire, that the Western Empire is falling apart. So I spend the entire time like running as fast as I can to get into the West. I get my Visigoths into like southern France and I settle down. And even at that point, I'm still like surrounded by enemies who are trying to kill me, because the Western Roman Empire is falling apart. There are like tribes migrating through and the tribes are attacking me. And like the rebel factions of the Roman Empire are now attacking me. Like everyone hates me. And so you spend the entire game not aggressively expanding and building a juggernaut. You spend more of it like fighting for your survival, which is a lot more interesting. Like you end up in situations where instead of trying to track down an enemy army, you're like putting your troops into ambush position. Which is riskier because you could end up attacking an army as it moves by that notices you and end up in an attacking battle where you're outnumbered. But you have to take those risks in order to thin out the enemy army so that you can fight on a, like an even footing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like stage a couple of really successful ambush battles. It's nice to like attack. You end up the enemy column is like marching through, and you're just waiting. And you position your troops along the roadside. You just wait for the right moment where you can send your entire army to attack their general. And kill him, because once you do that, then the rest of the troops are like, "Oh my God, what's happening?" And they just run away.
What do we do?
Right.
We
have so there was one. So us. I was actually outnumbered in the battle, about 2-1. But I had a couple of units of cavalry, which I hid like near where the enemy would run away to, and then the rest of my army was just waiting for the front of the column with the general at the head to come up. My entire army just attacks, kills the general, and everybody else starts to run away. And they run right into the hands of my cavalry, who were sitting there waiting for them. So I wiped out the entire enemy army. It was fantastic.
So those moments like that, you just sit back and take a drink of beer and like, that's why I'm the best.
I also saw at one point there was an achievement that popped up because I won a battle where I was outnumbered 10-1.
Holy crap. Nice.
It wasn't really. It was a decent sized army, and I'm pretty sure I wasn't outnumbered 10-1. I think it was more like 6-1. But I had a decent sized army, and I was fighting a bunch of really, really small armies. So I ambushed a couple of them, and then like hid in a corner until it was over. And since I was the defender, since they didn't drive me from the field, I ended up winning the battle.
Nice.
Kind of cheap, but I won anyway. I declare victory. I was ahead when time ran out. That's all that matters.
30 minutes of your life gone.
Great. Well, I sped up time to like four times time. So
oh, nice, nice, even better.
Minutes of my life that was gone.
Even better. Yeah, that game looks really good though. Good.
It's so good. I mean, honestly, it's the most fun I've had in a Total War game since the original Rome Total War, which I played much of. God, everybody should get this game. So much fun. So. All right, and now you need to talk about zombies, because everyone likes zombies except me, apparently.
Oh, yeah, you're that guy. That's right.
That guy.
So, Zombie Army Trilogy finally came to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. They kind of renamed the games, which is kind of odd. So the Sniper Elite series, Sniper Elite 3, I remember reviewing that for Critically Sane on Xbox One, and that was a great game. Really fun game. But the people that made that made these little offshoots. They're little standalone games featuring zombies. So it's like a it's an old World War II, and you have you know, your typical like sniper rifles and. Man, I'm just I'm fumbling with words on this one this time. Ah, so much more smooth last time.
Damn it! But, if only we could go back in time and start
recording
the initial podcast over again.
Oh well. But no, I mean it's a sniper game with zombies, and so there's the levels are incredibly long, which is my only problem with it. I think I spent an hour and 20. Hour and 20 something minutes. So I'm going through the first level on easy by myself. Just a long time for one level. I didn't know you could save it and quit in the middle. You know, Chris told me that whenever we played that later that night. But but with a friend, it's really fun. Like, you know, you're coordinating attacks. You're calling out who you're sniping. You know, as you. Get through, there's progressively harder enemies instead of just shambling zombies. You come across like snipers and sniper zombies. So they'll be up in towers and you'll see the glint and you'll see a couple glints and you'll just call out, oh, I'm shooting at left. And things like, oh, so they shoot at the right one. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, like whenever you're coordinating the attack. But, you know, I mean, there's. Let's see, there's four or five stages per act, I think, and there's three games. So there's a little bit of gameplay there because they're so long the levels. But with a friend though, it's a lot of fun. It's so much more fun with a friend. I played with one of my other friends and we played through the first level on normal and spent an hour and a half and could not make it through. We ended up quitting shortly before the end, so got frustrated. Instead of one machine gun guy and a bunch of people, there's like two machine gun guys that show up and a lot more people, and we ended up running upstairs, which, you know, as many horror movies as I watch, you would think that I would know not to run upstairs, but I ran upstairs anyway, and then the machine gun guys followed us upstairs and killed us, so... I got mad by that point, turned it off, rage quit. So, which I've been doing more of whenever I was playing Madden. Not to change back subjects, but yeah, a couple times I quit in the middle of the game. It's that stupid thing. Turn it off.
Tisk tisk.
That was not an interception. God, he was wide open, except for that one guy that was right there with him.
Right.
But anyway, now Zombie Army Trilogy, it's fun. It's a little expensive. It's, I want to say it's $50. But, like if it ever goes on sale, I recommend everybody pick it up. I mean, I don't know if I could recommend it at $50. I don't think I'm going to get that much out of it because I don't like playing it that much by myself. Excuse me. It's okay by yourself. It's plausible and fun, but I have other things I'd rather play. I'm trying to find the price real quick, but
too much.
Yeah, too much. But it's fun though. Are we still recording?
We are. I think. Are we not? Did it stop?
Yeah. No. Are we seriously? It didn't stop, did it?
No, it's still going.
All right. Good. All right. All right, I'm done fumbling through that one.
Fine, then we can talk about. Let's talk about EU4, El Dorado.
El Dorado.
El Dorado.
It's the city of gold, right?
It is. Although I haven't found the city of gold, even though I'm playing as the Aztecs.
Nice. How about that's rough, isn't it?
Oh man, it is. There. So the Aztecs are in the middle of a bunch of little warring tribal states. The game starts in 1440, which is way before Columbus or Cortez or any of the conquistadors arrive.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, trying to assert my dominance of the Aztecs. So I'm like, I'll just hop in, and the Aztecs will obviously roll over everyone. Oh, no. The Aztecs are the same size as every other little state, and there's, like, seven or eight of them. And they all... The driving force behind wars in EU4 is casus belli. Like, you need a reason to go to war. And normally it's hard to get one. The Aztecs and, like, all of their neighbors are part of this religion, which is foundationally based on human sacrifice. And the only way you can get humans to sacrifice is by going to war with somebody and capturing them and bringing your captives. You're back.
Yes.
Anyway, where was I?
The driving force of war is the last thing I heard, but I don't know what everybody else heard.
So the driving force behind war is human sacrifice.
Nice.
So you can declare war on anybody with the intention of taking them over, taking some prisoners, bringing them back to your territory, putting a few of them on the altar, and, you know, cutting them open.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrificing them to the gods. So you're constantly at war with your neighbors. And really, you don't want to absorb them. You just want to, like, beat them down so they're easy to conquer the next time.
Nice.
And there's, like, this religious system where you build up points to keep your... Actually, it's not building points up. You want to keep the doom level down, because if the doom level gets too high, then a bunch of things become really hard to do.
The doom level?
Doom, yes. So if there's not enough human sacrifices, the doom goes high, and your religious people start talking about the end of the world. So
that's awesome.
There's a bunch of interesting mechanics around that.
It sounds kind of difficult to play, though.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. It's not an easy situation. Definitely not a situation you'd want to throw, like, a newbie player into.
Yeah.
There are also some cool things about the expansion, though. They've done a lot. Not just with the Aztecs, but, like, to flush out North America and, like, add a bunch of tribes in that weren't in there before. And there's this other weird parallel focus on Africa and on Asia, just to kind of build that stuff out. I know most of the expansions to the game so far have focused on Europe and, like, the Hundred Years' War and, like, conflicts that we know really well, but this kind of points more towards the rest of the world.
Right.
Building that stuff up. And then they've also gone through and added in a nation builder. So you could start a game with a custom nation and you could make it up as however you wanted to. And then just play through the game with it.
Interesting.
Technically, this is always possible because EU4 is really moddable. So if you have any experience with, like, modding game files,
yeah,
you could do it before. But for someone like me, I mean, I have no interest in going into a game's files and changing stuff. And,
right, right.
Like, I wouldn't know where to begin, and I would probably mess something up so my file would become unplayable. So it's kind of nice to have them just give me the option, like, give me a little thing that will do it for me.
That's pretty neat.
So it's a nice little expansion. They've done a bunch of expansions by now. I think for EU4, I think all of them are worth getting. Honestly, and normally when they put out a new one, the rest of them all go on sale really cheaply.
Yeah,
The new expansion is like $15, but you get the game like 75% off.
And if you watch Steam sales, like whenever the big, like, spring sales and summer sales and stuff like that's going on, dude, like EU4 always ends up getting a huge sale.
Yeah.
So that and Crusader Kings 2. Yeah, I always end up plugging those on Twitter or whatever because, man, those are such good games.
Oh, they're so good.
I haven't spent near enough time with either one of them. Well, I spent a lot of time with Crusader Kings 2, but...
I bet I put... it's definitely more than 200 hours into Crusader Kings 2.
I put a lot of time into that back on the Gamersgate copies.
Yeah.
Before they pushed over to Steam. I didn't put that much into the Steam copy, but, man, I used to play that. I played that game a lot back in the day.
It's such a nice game.
Yeah, that game is so fun. I probably still prefer it a little bit over EU4, but...
I am really excited for their World War II game, which comes out in August, yeah.
I'm a little concerned it'll be over my head, but...
That game, I know Hearts of Iron 3 was really complex.
Yeah. But I know this one's going to look pretty.
Right. Other thing is, those games, while... complex, I mean, you don't have to worry about, like, politics as much.
Uh-huh.
once the war actually starts.
Yeah. You're right, right. So it's starting the war, that's the problem.
Right. And you don't really have to concern yourself with the long term like you have to in EU4. Like, once the war starts, you have to win the war. Like, there's no other way to go. In EU4, you can lose the war and, you know, decades later, come back with another army and try again.
That's right.
Hearts of Iron 4, not so much. You lose the war, the game is over. Sorry.
Game over. Try again.
So.
Yeah. I was really interested in their Cold War game, actually.
Oh, it got canceled.
I know. I was really disappointed with it. I'm fairly positive it would have been over my head. But it sounded really cool.
I think a lot of the stuff they proposed, the changes they wanted to make to Hearts of Iron, because it was based on Hearts of Iron 3.
Right, right.
A lot of stuff got nixed because of Hearts of Iron 4.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's what I would put my finger on.
Yeah.
But anyway, you play anything else, Don?
Not really. I should have played Resident Evil Revelations 2.
But no.
I should have played the third episode this last weekend. However, I got EA Access and played Madden all weekend.
That was a good choice.
It was a good choice. It kind of screwed up my plans to write up a wrap-up article on the game. I'll buy both episodes and hopefully plow through them this weekend, but so I can write something. But the game is so good. It's a lot of, like, it's kind of old school Resident Evil. Not old school, but I'd say like Resident Evil 4-ish. But maybe a little less action than that one. I don't know. There's not a lot of action in this game, which is fun. It's, and fine, because raid mode completely makes up for that. And I like raid mode a lot. But, the way they're handling the episodic content is by far the best implementation of it so far. You know, every week it's a new episode, and they're like hour and a half to 2 hours. So, which is, you know, the Telltale games, those things are only like, they're about the same length. They're about 2 hours, maybe three tops.
Right, for one episode.
So, yeah, and then you got to wait months for the next one to come out. But this one is, in my opinion, they're handling it way better. So, because I'll sit down and play it in one, I'll play it in two sessions. I'll play because they're split in half. There's a half for the two girls, and then there's a half for Barry and the little girl. So I'll play through one half, and then later that night or the next day, I'll play through the second half. But I really enjoy the implementation of it, and I hope that other companies learn from that. I wish Telltale would think, you know, like, hold off on releasing your games a little bit longer until most of the stuff
finish them
done.
All. If you could finish all the episodes and just release them right next
and
to
then
each other.
Release them like 1 to 2 weeks out. 2 weeks max, you know?
I guarantee that they lose so much money from people who are like, well, I'm just going to wait till the end because I know this other rest of this isn't going to be out.
That's why I started playing Borderlands, Tales of the Borderlands, and it was really fun. I didn't finish it. I'm, I think, halfway done. But whenever I stopped playing for the day, and then I was going to play it the next day, I told myself, I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to wait like I'm going to have to wait like 2 months to play this again. So screw it. I'll just wait till all the episodes come out.
Right.
So.
But speaking of Telltale, I started playing The Wolf Among Us.
Oh, yeah.
Playing in quotation marks, though.
Why are you playing in quotation marks? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not a game. I'm sorry. I knew that.
I have a hard time considering these things games. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. It's fun. It's a great electronic entertainment device.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like I have any sense of agency. Like, there are so many times in the dialogue where, like, I'm choosing a response, and then the other character will say something, and then my character will respond without me choosing anything. And that second response will not be anywhere close to the same vein as the response that I actually chose. And I'm just like, well, you're forcing me down this path now.
Yeah.
And any sort of control that I felt like I had was illusory at best.
I think the it's more of an illusion in the fact that I mean, I guess the endings kind of change a little bit, but the end result is still going to be the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, never mind. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, I'm not.
Walking Dead season one or anything like that. But I mean, it's one of those things, like, once you get to the end, you think to yourself, like, well, I'm pretty sure I would have come to this conclusion. Yeah, this person may have been alive, this person may have been dead, but who cares? That's details.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't actually affect the gameplay, so to speak. Well, gameplay in quotations. Sorry, Tony.
And I remember, for some reason, I remember having a lot more control over my character in The Walking Dead Season 1. And in The Wolf Among Us, I don't feel like I have any. Like, the entire game is just me watching a cutscene and choosing what the dialogue is.
I wouldn't like that at all.
There are, like, action sequences, but even in those, it's like, if I hit the buttons in the right way, then this thing happens, and if I don't, then this other thing happens, and I just...
Yeah.
That's... I don't feel like I'm playing. I feel like I'm watching. Even in sections where I have to, like... There's one part where somebody is strangling you, and you're, like, slamming the button. Only they're supposed to be winning. So the fact that I'm slamming the button doesn't make any difference.
I don't like slamming buttons on my controllers either, by the way.
Right, right.
Not a fan of that at all. No. I hate button mashing.
Oh, it's awful. But
bad at controller.
I don't understand the love for these games. So many people love these games.
I do enjoy some of them.
The storytelling that I've seen so far is pretty hackneyed, honestly. It's not that good.
Really? I heard that game was good.
Well, the thing is, that's if you're comparing the writing in this game,
for Telltale isn't poisoning your thoughts on this.
If you're comparing the writing in this game to another video game, all right, fine.
Okay, that's what
but
you should.
But the thing is, here, that's all there is. So if I'm going to take the writing in this game, I'm not going to compare it to that. I'm going to compare it to a noir film. Because that's the experience that they're giving me. And this is not up on par with that.
Well.
So.
I see your logic, but.
If there was something else in the gameplay, if there was some other element, I might view that
was
in a different way.
Littered
but...
with cutscenes, like, not cutscenes, with QuickTime events.
Right.
I have never played a game with more QuickTime events than Jurassic Park.
This game is one. I mean, it's a cutscene with QuickTime events. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So then you have to view it as a movie. I mean, that's basically what you're doing. It's just a choose your own adventure movie. Only I'm not sure how much of the adventure I'm choosing. So I don't know. I really wish Jeff were here. He'd be like gasping and like trying to reach through his mic and strangle me.
Oh yeah. That's all right. No, Jeff, you laid on thick, boy.
But I'm gonna play more of it. I'm not gonna give up, because you know, despite the fact that I have my reservations, I am kind of interested to see what happens. So
why are you playing it? The story?
I mean,
is this
I
a
like,
follow
I,
or?
I like detective games. You know, I like Sherlock.
Okay.
I like L.A. Noir. So I was kind of hoping for more of that kind of experience. And there is a little bit. Like, there are some times you, like, walk around and, like, try to observe the crime scene. But, I mean, really all you're doing is, like, walking up to an object and hitting A.
Yeah.
Doesn't really feel like that much. Whereas in Sherlock, you were like, oh, I found this thing. I should go to my library and look it up. Or go into my laboratory and... perform experiments upon it to see what. there's none of that here. It's just pick up the thing. The game does all the work for you at that point. So
nice.
Yeah. But
what else you been playing?
Has there been anything else?
Yeah, that's Cities.
I played Cities Skylines for like 5 minutes before we started recording
this. Oh, you literally just started. I got you. Okay.
I have, you know, it looked very SimCity-ish, but in a good way. So, and it's much cheaper than the other SimCity.
What were the other Cities games? Because they seem to be popular.
They were transportation management sims. It was like...
Okay, so like, you really just worked with the transportation, like roads and subways and shit like that.
Right.
Okay.
like fixing traffic patterns and like trying to get everybody through the city and getting emergency services to the right place by organizing things a certain way and that kind of thing. But this is a city builder. Like, I didn't look that hard, but I didn't see any scenarios. It was all like, here is an empty space. Build your city. Which is awesome. It's what you hoped for from the last SimCity game, and you never got. And you can, like, change the rules. You can, like, give yourself infinite money and that kind of thing. So you can do what you want. You can build the city in whatever image you want. You can... I don't know.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, though. How much was it, by chance?
I got it on a VIP sale on Green Man Gaming.
Uh-huh.
So the game retails for $30.
That's not bad at all.
For 21.
Okay.
So
30 is not bad though. I was expecting $60 for like SimCity.
Yeah. There's that and.
Do you have to be always connected to the internet? Because that could pose a problem.
I don't think so.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Wasn't that one of the issues with
the servers could go down and you could not be able to play your game for say 6 weeks or a month? You know, like a certain other game that would. Whose studio has magically disappeared off the face of the earth. I can't imagine why.
Poor Maxis. That's such a good game. A couple of good games. Several good games.
Not recently, though. You look at their...
No, not recently at all. I mean, they started a good thing, though. The original SimCity is a fucking awesome game, man. Still. I can still play that game.
2000 was good. 3000 was good. Even SimCity 4 was pretty good.
I didn't like the newer ones. I didn't like the flip to the isometric.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I realize this new Cities game looks the same way, but I don't know. My love for SimCity died at that. So, but.
And I mean, The Sims was a good game too, but Maxis wasn't working on that anymore. And I mean, you figure the last. They'd spent, what, 6-7 years working on this last SimCity game?
Yeah.
And,
Flop.
And really, that studio, I mean, it's been around for more than, what?
When did they, a long
like,
time,
1989
man.
Or something. Like, they've been around forever. And I don't know, whatever ideas they were coming up with just didn't work.
Who's to say they were their ideas?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I'm not trying to push it off on the publisher like most people like
right.
to do,
I mean,
say. And I mean,
EA ran the studio for 25 years, so it's kind of hard to blame EA for this.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the case of Maxis, they gave it a really hands-off approach, letting them do the things that they kind of wanted to do with it. And they ended up in a place that was pretty awful.
To say the least.
Right. So... I mean, it's not the end result is not surprising considering what happened with SimCity and how much grief EA took for that.
Oh yeah. Oh man, the backlash was horrible.
Horrific. Now, is that to say that we won't see another SimCity game from EA at some point in the future? I bet we will.
Bring it to consoles.
I just hope it doesn't suck. But I have City Skylines now, so play with that. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you play with that and you see what happens.
Oh, I'm going to play with it until something happens. All right, I think that's all we got, right?
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
We can make fun of Konami. Do we want to make fun of Konami?
Yeah, what Konami do? Nope, I didn't. Let's do it. What did they do? I want to laugh.
So, Kojima, creator of the Metal Gear Solid series, has been erased by Konami.
What?
His studio, which was called Kojima Productions, has been renamed something like Konami Studios or something like that. and every reference to Kojima has been deleted from their website. Metal Gear Solid... 5, the Phantom Pain, or whatever the hell it was called, was subtitled I think his name is Hideki Kojima game. That subtitle's been removed. from that and all their artwork. Like, his name is just, like, erased. They have their list of officers on their website, and he's been removed from that as well, with an effective date of April 1. And people are freaking out about it. There's, like, all over Kotaku and all over the internet, people are like, oh, my God, what has Konami done here and whatever.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I never understood that guy. I never understood the love for that guy either.
Yeah, I've never particularly enjoyed his games, but I'm not going to, you know, a lot of people do, and it's kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. And then not only that, but, I mean, yeah, even if you don't like his games, I mean, he's a big name, dude. Like,
right.
Just to erase him from existence, so to speak. I assume he still exists, right? They didn't literally erase him, did they?
No, I don't think so. But
okay.
But that said, he has a reputation for doing some really weird stuff in PR.
Maybe he's doing this to himself.
Right. Like, there's nothing to say that they are not just kind of pulling a fast one just to see what kind of attention they can draw.
That's funny.
So, like, he pretended to be somebody else when they originally announced the Phantom Pain. Like, he wore a mask and made it look like it wasn't him. And like, he's done all kinds of weird stuff. He's a very strange person. Which, if you've ever played a Metal Gear Solid game, you probably wouldn't be surprised by. It wouldn't shock me that if this was a huge ploy. Then again, I mean, we've seen stuff like this happen in other studios that, you know, it wasn't a ploy. So,
the only headline I read the Polygon headlines on an app on my phone every couple times a day, whatever. I saw Kojima to leave Konami after Metal Gear Solid 5? ?
Right. Nobody knows. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
So.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I got some good news, though.
Okay.
Farming Simulator 15 is coming to Xbox One PlayStation 4.
Oh, God.
Yep.
I can't wait.
With multiplayer. Yeah, the last the PS3/PSV Vita version did not have multiplayer.
Does this mean I can thresh wheat with you, Don?
That is correct, sir.
Wow.
Welcome to Texas, buddy.
I look forward to that day.
Oh, yeah. And you can breed animals.
Sweet.
Sell crops. Oh, man, it's going to be so great.
That sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be so good. Comes out in May. May.
Everything changes in May.
I'll be buying that one.
Understood. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, multiplayer. That was one of my killers on the last one. Came to console. No multiplayer, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's it for the Tony and Don show.
Yeah.
It's been a great ride. For us, and I know for you, the listener.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't deny this was probably the highlight of their week. I guess I could think of a few other things that might be better, but not much. Not much.
Maybe a nice high-gravity stout.
I was thinking, coming across something on your untapped wish list that you've been looking for a while and finally saw at the store. That would be a highlight of the week right there. So, but you know, the Tony and Don show is a very welcome treat.
All right. Say good night, Don.
Good night, Don.